Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 160, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." Christians believe and teach that the Bible is absolute truth, that it is a book of integrity, that it has and will be proven time and time again to be from God and without error. Can the same be said of the Quran? Is the Quran a holy book, or it is a book that is full of holes? Is it from God, or is it the messages, the made-up prophecies of Muhammad? Today we want to examine the integrity of the Quran. Look inside it and see, is it really from Allah? The word integrity means a state of being whole. It's entire, undiminished. It's sound. It's of perfect condition. Well, is the Quran complete? Is it undiminished as a book from God? Today we want to examine that evidence found in the Quran itself, compare it with history, compare it with the traditions of Islam, and see, is this really a trustworthy book? One of the major proofs we know that the Quran is not from God is the Quran has names and people in it before they even existed. For example, in one passage in the Quran, Samaritans are mentioned before they even existed in history. Here's what the Quran says in chapter 20, verses 85 through 88, and in verse 95. He, God said, now this is what God said, "We have tempted the people, since thou didst leave them, the Samaritan has led them into error." Talking about when Moses went up to get the tablets and they made a golden calf. The Quran says, "The Samaritan led them to error. Then Moses returned. We cast them gold ornaments, as the Samaritan also threw them into the fire. Then he brought out for them a calf, a mere body that lowed, and they said, 'This is your God and the God of Moses, whom he has forgotten.' Moses said, 'And you, Samaritan, what was your business?'" Now, instead of Aaron doing this, in the Quran, you've got a Samaritan tempting the people to make a golden calf. Well, what's the problem with that? Here's the main problem. How can a Samaritan have led the Israelites astray at the time of Moses, approximately 14 B.C., listen, when the city of Samaria wasn't even founded till 870 B.C. by King Omri? The Samaritans didn't even exist until after the exile of the northern kingdom of Israel and the resettlement of God's people under King Sargon II in 722 B.C., when non-Israelites adopted a mixture between the religion of the Jews and the polytheistic background. The Samaritans didn't exist until 530 years after Moses. Friend, this mistake alone proves that the Quran is not rendered as reliable, and it's certainly not an inerrant work of God, like the Book of Mormon that has Christ and Christians years before they existed. Today, we see that Samaritans existed 530 years before they came into place. Just doesn't line up with history, and good common sense shows us the Quran is not from God. Another proof of the fact that the Quran is not from God deals with the number of planets that God allegedly created. How many planets? Well, Joseph saw, evidently, in the Quran, in a dream, 11 planets. Now, does this mean that according to the Quran, there are 11 planets in our solar system? Here's what the Quran says in chapter 12, verse 4. "When Joseph said unto his father, 'O my father, lo, I saw in a dream 11 planets and the sun and moon, I saw them prostrating themselves unto me.'" Are there 11 planets? No, that's just not true. It's not accurate. God doesn't give prophecies that don't align with that which is accurate. And so, the number of planets is wrong. Here's a glaring error. In the Quran errs in the adoption of Moses. The Quran says in the adoption of Moses that it was by Pharaoh's wife. Chapter 28, verse 9. Now, this story contradicts history and the biblical Exodus count in Exodus chapter 2, verse 10, which states it was actually Pharaoh's daughter who adopted Moses. It's important to note here that had Pharaoh's wife adopted Moses, consequently, he would have been in line to be Pharaoh himself. And thus, this fact alone makes the Quran rather incredulous. It's not something I can put credit in. And so, was it Pharaoh's wife? Was it his daughter? Well, the Bible, history goes on to show it was Pharaoh's daughter, not his wife. But in chapter 28 and verse 9 of the Quran, it says, "And the wife of Pharaoh said, he will be, that is Moses, a comfort of the eyes for me and for you. Do not kill him. Perhaps he may benefit us, or we may adopt him as a son," and they perceived not. Now again, Exodus 2 verse 10, "The child grew, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, so he called his name Moses, because I drew him out of the water." So you've got the Quran saying it was Pharaoh's wife. You've got the Bible saying it was Pharaoh's daughter. And thus, again, another glaring error that we see. You know, there's also a problem in the Quran concerning some of the names that it mentions. According to the Quran, no one ever bore the name of Yahya before John the Baptist. Chapter 19, verse 7 of the Quran says this. "He was told, O Zechariah, indeed we give you good tidings of a boy whose name will be John," Yahya in the Hebrew. "We have not assigned to any before this name." And so the Quran says the name John, the Hebrew name, has never been given to anybody ever before in history. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Let's see if that's really true. The Bible says in 2 Kings 25, verse 23, that this name was actually given before. It was a well-known name hundreds of years before the writing of the Quran. Listen to these words. 2 Kings 25, 23, "Now when all the captains of the armies, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah, Ishmael the son of Nathanai, and Johanan the son of Kareesh." That in the Hebrew is the word John. Now, even if someone says, "Well, I don't know that I accept the Bible as true either," here's the fact you have to deal with. Muhammad said nobody in history has ever had the name John. Historically, the Bible has that name hundreds of years before Muhammad said that it never existed. And so what do I know? Muhammad wasn't correct. That proves that he is not a prophet of Almighty God and that the Quran is not true. Well, there's also a very interesting story in the Quran about Haman. You remember Haman in the book of Esther? He was the one who made the gallows for Mordecai to be hanged on. And actually, those gallows were used to hang Haman. Well, the Quran has it all mixed up about Haman. In fact, Israelite history will show what the Bible says is true. But what does the Quran say? In the Quran, Haman is actually referred to as a servant of Pharaoh who built a high tower to ascend up to the God of Moses. The Babel Tower is what this sounds like. And of course, that occurred 750 years earlier in Genesis 11. The name Haman is correctly found in the story of Esther in Babylon 1,100 years after Pharaoh. And so here we've got Haman. Somehow Muhammad gets Haman mixed up with the building of the Tower of Babel, which was 750 years earlier than the events in Esther 1,100 years after Pharaoh. And so a big mistake in the combining of these. Oftentimes, people like Joseph Smith, who allegedly wrote the Book of Mormon, people like Muhammad, they've been reading the Bible, and they'll take those stories and they'll mesh them all up and make big mistakes in so doing, as we see here. When we think about the Quran, one of the most interesting and really absurd passages that you find in the Quran has to deal with King Solomon. The Quran says in chapter 27, verse 16, that Solomon was actually taught by God the speech of birds and the speech of ants. Now, you heard correctly. God taught Solomon to speak bird and to speak ant. Now listen to this. In his battles, Solomon used birds extensively, supposedly by the Quran, to drop clay bricks on Abel's army. He marched them in military parades. He also used ants and birds to bring messages to powerful queens. Here's what it says. In the Quran, chapter 27, verses 18 and 19, it records this. "Until when they came upon the valley of the ants, an ant said, O ants, enter your dwellings, that you not be crushed by Solomon and his soldiers while they perceive not. So Solomon smiled, amused at their speech, and said, My Lord, enable me to be grateful for your favor, which you have bestowed upon me and upon my parents, and to do righteousness of which you approve, and admit me by your mercy into the ranks of your righteous servants. Here he's talking to the ants, and he supposedly understands them, smiles back at them, and knows what they speak. Again, how absurd is that? Well, Solomon also learned to speak bird. Chapter 27, verse 16 in the Quran, And Solomon inherited David, and he said, O people, we have been taught the language of birds. We've been given from all things. Indeed, this is evident bounty. And so you've got in the Quran, Solomon speaking ant and him speaking bird. Friend, that doesn't need a whole lot of explanation to say how absurd. How absurd that is to say that Solomon learned that language which no one has a clue about and ever has. Well, another very interesting passage in the Quran that shows it's not from God, that it's not a book of integrity, is a passage concerning certain youth and a dog that slept for a number of years with their eyes open. In chapter 18, verses 9 through 25, we're told of a story of some young people and a dog who slept in a cave for 309 years with their eyes open and their ears closed. Now, I want you to just think about that a moment. You've got these young people, and you've got this dog, and in the Quran, they're in this cave, and they're there 309 years. They're asleep with their eyes open and their ears closed. 309 years? Again, we just ask, how absurd? How absurd is things like that which don't even add up to good sense? In the Quran, chapter 2, verses 65 and 66, and in chapter 7, verse 163 through 167, in this story, Allah, He turns to certain fishing people who are breaking the Sabbath, and He turns these people, because of their disobedience, He actually turns them to apes. You know, when you think of this passage, it's very interesting to hear what is actually said. In chapter 2, verses 65 and 66 of the Quran, allegedly Allah said, Indeed, you knew those among you who transgress in the matter of the Sabbath. We said to them, Be monkey, you despised and rejected, and we made it a deterrent punishment for those who are present and those who succeeded, and a lesson for those who fear Allah. And so, how is God going to get people to obey Him? What does God do? Well, in the Quran, as a deterrent to sin, God says, and He shows it to certain people, You break my Sabbath, I'll turn you into a monkey. Now, friend, I want you to just stop and think about the absurdity of these things. How ridiculous, how absurd is this? This is made up by men, not by God Himself. And so, where did Muhammad come up with all this? After looking at some of these far-fetched ideas, you have to wonder, where in the world did Muhammad get these ideas? How did he come up with some of these far-fetched stories? Well, like Joseph Smith, Muhammad was actually a great plagiarist. He was taking various fables, various writings of his day, some from history, some from the Bible, some from Jewish sources, and he was plagiarizing and mixing that up into his own message. In fact, much of what Muhammad taught or said came from other apocryphal books, that's Jewish apocryphal writings of his day. Books not from God, but books that people of his day were often reading. Now, one of the most interesting stories is a story found in the Quran, chapter 7, verse 171, where, in essence, God, He's lifting up Mount Sinai, and God's actually holding Mount Sinai over the heads of the Jews as a threat to squash them if they reject the law and the biblical account. And so, again, when you think of these events, we ask ourselves, how absurd is that? Here's what it actually says. The Quran says in chapter 7, verse 171, And mention when we raised the mountain above them, as it was a dark cloud, and they were certain that they would fall upon them, Allah said, Take what we've given you with determination, and remember what is in it, that you might fear Allah. And so in essence, God takes Mount Sinai, holds it over them, and said, You're going to do what I said, right? And if not, it's as though God is going to drop Mount Sinai on them. Again, just absurd is the rendering of these things. These messages, they're not really from Muhammad. Muhammad perpetrated them as he was the one who wrote it. He convinced many people into believing that, but this actual story of God holding Mount Sinai over the Jews didn't come from Muhammad. This story comes from a 2nd century apocryphal Jewish book, the Avodah Zarah. Here's what it says. One of the things that we learn about Muhammad is that he often looked to other accounts. This one concerns Jesus being born under a palm tree. The palm tree occurs in the Quran in chapter 19, verses 22 through 26. We read the story of Mary and the baby Jesus, the palm tree, and the rivulet which flowed below it. The story, of course, is not found in the Bible. It first appeared in apocryphal fable in the 2nd century, known as the Lost Books of the Bible, that we have recorded today. Now, here's the actual account. In the Quran, it states, "So she conceived him, Jesus, and she retired with him to a remote place, and the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. She cried in her anguish, 'Ah, would that I died before this! Would that I had been a thing forgotten and out of sight.' But a voice cried to her from beneath the palm tree, 'Grieve not, for your Lord has provided a rivulet beneath thee. Shake toward thyself the trunk of the palm tree. It will let fall fresh ripe dates upon you. So eat and drink and cool your eye.'" And so in the Quran we have this account of one of the events that occurred allegedly during Jesus and Mary, the birth that she had of Jesus. Now, this, again, is not from the Quran. It's actually from the Lost Books of the Bible, an apocryphal writing. Notice the close connection. "Now, on the third day, after Mary was wearied in the desert by the heat, she asked Joseph to rest for a little while under the shade of a palm tree. Then Mary, looking up and seeing its branches laden with fruit, dates, said, 'I desire if it were possible to have some fruit.' Just then the child Jesus looked up from below with a cheerful smile and said to the palm tree, 'Send down some fruit.' Immediately the tree bent itself toward her, and so they ate. Then Jesus said, 'O palm tree, arise, be one of my father's trees in paradise, but with thy roots open a rivulet, a fountain, beneath thee, and bring water flowing from the fount.'" Now, here's the problem with this. This apocryphal account was available, already in print, already known by people in the day of Muhammad, and so it was written before Muhammad wrote in the Quran about this, and look at how close they are. You can tell by reading that he didn't make it up. He took what was already available, plagiarized it, and put it in the Quran. And so is the Quran a trustworthy book? No. Muhammad plagiarized many of the things that are in it. We have another story about the baby Jesus talking. Later in the same chapter, chapter 19 in the Quran, in verses 29 through 33, we find that the baby Jesus can actually talk. Nowhere in the Gospel do we find this, but there's an account of Jesus disputing with the elders at the age of 12 when he's in the temple in Luke chapter 12. So where did this story about Jesus being able to talk, the baby Jesus being able to talk, come from? Once again, we need only turn to the apocryphal writings of the second century. This time, it's an Arabic apocryphal writing from Egypt, named as the first gospel of the infancy of Jesus Christ. Here's that story. The Quran says in chapter 19, verses 29 through 23, "But she pointed to the babe. They said, 'How can we talk to the one who is a child in the cradle?' He said, 'I am indeed a servant of Allah. He hath given me revelation and made me a prophet. He hath made me blessed wheresoever I be, and hath enjoined on me prayer and charity as long as I live. He hath made me kind to my mother, and not overbearing or miserable. So peace is on me the day I was born, the day that I die, and the day that I shall be raised up to life again.'" The first gospel of the infancy of Jesus Christ. Jesus spake even when he was in the cradle. He said to his mother, "Mary, I am Jesus, the Son of God, the Word which thou didst bring forth according to the declaration of the angel." And so you've got an account of it in the Gospel of the Infancy of Jesus. You've got an account of it in the Quran, this apocryphal writing already existed before the Quran, and thus it shows. Muhammad was not a prophet of God. He was plagiarizing the works of other men, tweaking them just a little bit, made it just a little different, and then inserting that into the Quran. Here's another example. According to the Quran, chapter 3, verse 49, Jesus breathed life into birds of clay. The source for this Quranic fiction, of course, is found in the earlier Thomas Gospel, in the infancy of Jesus Christ, another apocryphal fable from the 2nd century. It reads in the Quran, Muhammad allegedly says, "And Jesus, a messenger to the children of Israel, I have come to you with a sign from your Lord, in that I make for you out of clay, as it were, the figure of a bird, breathe into it, and it becomes a bird by Allah's leave." So the Quran has this story, Jesus taking clay birds, shaping them, breathing on them, and they take off and fly. Well, did Moses or Muhammad think that up on his own? No. Thomas' Gospel of the Infancy of Christ, again, written before, the Quran says, "Then he took from the bank of the stream some soft clay, formed out of it 12 sparrows, Jesus, clapping together the palms of his hands, called the sparrows and said to them, 'Go, fly away.'" And so here's what we have. Years before Muhammad had ever come up with these stories, they already existed. He takes them, tweaks them just a little bit, and inserts them in the Quran, and yet a person with good sense can see, this is not from Muhammad. This is from some fable, some false story written earlier than the Quran. And so what do I know? The Quran is not a book of integrity. It has errors. It has things in it that are not right. Think about this. If God were to communicate His Word to mankind, there would be three steps necessary to ensure man received a perfect revelation. First, the recipient would need to be inspired. That is, would have to be supernaturally guided in the reception of the message. His speech would have to be errorless. If God is going to give a message to me and you, then the person, the medium He uses, would have to be errorless. That's not Muhammad. We've already seen in his life is chock full of error, that he did things that are not right with God, not right with the Quran, and that he actually, at one time, was inspired by Satan. Second, this errorless message would need to be recorded in a written form that is impeccable, unaltered, and free from human error. Well, is that the Quran? We've already seen it's not. It contains errors in its words, errors in some of the things that were said, stories that were written way before the Quran itself. And then thirdly, this original, inerrant word would need to be sufficiently preserved and transmitted so that people everywhere could have access to its unaltered message, allegedly the message of God. Well, concerning the Quran, there was no original autograph. There weren't anything but memories that people had. They took those memories and wrote them down, and allegedly the Quran came from that. And so what can we know? We can know, friend, that the Quran is not a book of integrity. It's not from God. Muhammad was not a prophet of God. He said and did too many things that just don't line up. What can you know, though? Friend, the good news is you can know this book is from God. You can look at the evidence. You can examine it critically. You can look at its prophecies. You can look at the science found in it. You can compare it with history. You won't find the error that you find in man-made books. This is a book free of error. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Friend, are you sure today that you're right with God? Don't put your trust in men who have not always done the right thing or said the right thing. Put your trust in Almighty God. If you've never obeyed the gospel, friend, we encourage you, study your Bible. Begin by with an open and unbiased heart. Go to the Bible and see for yourself. We encourage you, get your Bible out and see for yourself. Will it hold up to scrutiny? Christians are not afraid to encourage others to do that. The Bible tells us, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And so, check for yourself, see. Search the Scriptures and see, do these things add up? And then if they do, we encourage you to submit to the will of God found in the Bible. Won't you believe today that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am He, you'll surely die in your sin. Having believed in this message, would you then be willing to change your life? The Bible says in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Peter preached, repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. Would you turn from sin unto God? Would you make the greatest confession ever? I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said we've got to make that. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus said, you won't confess me before men, neither will I confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you will confess me before men, I'll also confess you before the Father in heaven. And to contact the blood of Jesus, would you be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins? In Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 4, we learn that we die with Christ and we die to sin. We're buried with Him in water into His death, and we rise out of that water in newness of life. Have you contacted the blood of Jesus in the waters of baptism? Jesus made it so simple. He said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Mark 16:16, John 3 and verse 5. And so we beg you today, check the Bible. Study it for yourself. And if it's true, won't you obey the message of God? Don't be duped in believing these false prophecies and false messages of men. Put your trust in the will and the Word of God, which has stood the test of time, will stand the test of time, and is the only hope for salvation that man has. It's the gospel of Christ that can save, and we hope you'll give your life to just that.